So there was this Muslim, and he went to Texas, and he hails a cab. And the Texan's got his country music on, you know. And the Muslim says, "Would you turn that off? You know, the great prophet Muhammad didn't have that kind of music playing when he was on earth. I shouldn't be listening to that kind of infidel music." And the cab driver was very nice. He turned the music off and pulled around the corner and got out and opened the door. And the man says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, the great prophet Muhammad didn't have infidel cars to drive in, so you need to wait for a camel." Praise the Lord. Okay, I want you to look quickly on your notes. You'll see that there are intermediate, near-term, and long-term warfare. I'm going to give a quick synopsis of what that is before we go into the teaching here. Okay, and again, I'm going to relate this a lot to war because we're in a war. We're going to that a little bit more later. Immediate is when the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. When they came back in for the second wave, we were ready for them. We knocked down a lot of Japanese zeros. We did what we had to do to stop them. And they didn't want to come back for a third wave because they were afraid they would lose more and lose some ships. They didn't know where our carriers were. Okay, so that's what you do to stop them. Near-term warfare is you're going to find the enemy camped somewhere, which we did at the Battle of Midway. We destroyed most of their carriers, which gave us control of the seas. Long-term is getting all the way to Tokyo and some find a way to end the war and stop the fighting against us. So as we go through this, I want you to think of those concepts when we talk about near-term, immediate, near-term, and long-term. Okay? Great. So, conceptually, I want you to think of 1936, Europe. If you're of white, Anglo, German descent, you don't have any worries in the world. You're okay. You're fine. And that's where most of the people are today. Okay? But if you're of Jewish descent, you had a problem on the horizon. They were at war. They just didn't know it yet. Too many Christians don't realize we are at war. Too many Christians don't realize we are in battle with a very strategic, determined, cunning, devious enemy. Okay. Now, if every Jewish man in Europe had a rifle and 500 rounds of ammunition, Hitler would be a little footnote in history. But the first thing they did was they disarmed everybody. I'm not going into politics now. I'm going to make an example here. Bear with me for a second here. Okay? And the comments of me said, "Well, but they would have tanks and planes." That's true, but tanks and planes need ground support. A tank can only go about 120 miles. World War II tank, about 120 miles before it runs out of fuel. When a tank is out of fuel, they abandon it because it's useless. Now, granted, they try to get it back later or something, but the bottom line is the tank didn't have fuel. It was useless. Same thing with the planes. So if those people had rifles and they kept the military from supplying the tanks, they would have stopped the onslaught. Yes, there have been a lot of casualties. There would have been. But at least they would have died defending their homeland, defending their wives, their children. They wouldn't have went to slaughter in the concentration camps. Okay? Too many Christians today are going to slaughter. They are blindly going along complacently. And here at ABC, we have the tools to teach us what to do. Now, Ephesians 6:12. It's not on your paper. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers, against the darkness of this age." You have the weapons and tools here at ABC to demolish enemy strongholds and strangleholds. Okay? Yes. Are you using them? Are you really learning how to use these weapons? We're going to go through it tonight. I'm going to encourage you, continually review ABC all the way through. Just the military goes back and does their fundamentals every time. Every athlete goes back and does his fundamentals all the way through every time to maintain that edge. And I found out when I was working on this, There were things I'd gotten out of habit. You know, you go along, you get busy, something happens, something else happens. And we have to rededicate ourselves to doing everything we need to do. Okay? Now, this teaching is going to focus on healing, yes. But these concepts work for everything. If you have marital problems, if you have financial problems, if you're having any kind of problems at all, these concepts work. Whatever the devil is using to attack you with, take these concepts. Now, you use different tools than the healing scripts we're going to talk about, but the concepts will work. Okay? Praise the Lord. Okay. So, the spiritual actions below are all the items which should benefit any believer. These have been arranged especially for the ABCers. Because this normal everyday lifestyle and knowledge of healing, this list has been set up so as to focus on ABC, person who's attending, and able to develop the manifestation they need by themselves. The expectation is that the symptoms will leave, the manifestation will result in from the very first action. Okay. The list starts with the more frequent spiritual actions of September of a semester 2 ABCer. One should expect victory on every new line item. One should go on to the next item only after a period of standing faith on that current line item of action. Okay, so let's start with the immediate normal action. And that's our prayer of authority. You know, you've been told, you've been taught that you have authority here on this earth. That Jesus died on the cross and that Jesus gave all authority to us. Okay. I don't care what that devil tells you, it's a lie. We have the authority. We have the right to control every godly thing around us. Now, don't have the right to control another person, that's witchcraft. That's a different story. Okay? But when the demons are attacking us, we have the right to control that and stop that. Okay? So when a physical challenge attacks someone, the first thing you need to do, I'm going to tell the story that we talk about Pastora Sarah. She was outside. Major back challenge hits her. And she yells, "No!" Real loud. We can say, "Stop in the name of Jesus." Whatever it is you want to do, take authority over that situation right then. Now, I love dogs. And I've raised a number of dogs. And the way I was taught to train a puppy was that you watch them when they're in the house. And when they start to lift their leg, you say, "No!" And it startles the puppy. You grab the puppy, take it outside. After a few times, the puppy knows he needs to go outside. Now, you don't say, "No, puppy, no, don't do that." You don't do it soft, you don't do it bad. You take control of that situation. You're that dog's master. The truth is, you're that demon's master. Okay. After a while, the dog will let you know and wants to go outside by itself because he knows he's not supposed to do it inside. He'll look at the door, he'll nug your leg or do something. They'll find a way to do it. Now, one dog, Tugger. Tugger was a Newfoundland St. Bernard mix. Oh, wow. Tugger put his paws on my shoulders, look over my head, and weighed 225 pounds. You guys named Tugger because he liked to play tug of war. And he won. When Tugger had to go out, he would take his nose and just tink, tink, tink to the door handle so you knew he had to go. And when 225-pound dog says he's got to go, you let him outside quickly. Okay. Okay. All right. Then we check for hindrances, okay? What is the hindrance? Where is the door open for you to be attacked? Something has happened. Something has caused this. Is it a fear of some kind? Is it bitterness? Is it unforgiveness? Is it offense? What is it? You need to find out what that is. Okay? You stop the attack. Now, I don't want it coming back again. What is it? When Pastora Karen and I ran the healing rooms, we had a lovely, sweet little lady come in. Her name is Pat, and I have permission to tell this story. And she was just, you just wanted to hug her. I just wanted to just hug her. She was just so adorably sweet. And this is on a Friday night, and Monday she was going in for a double mastectomy. And as I'm praying in the room for her, I get the word bitterness. And I go, Pat, I'm getting the word bitterness. Does that mean anything to you? She goes, no, I'm just not bitter. And you tell by looking at her, she didn't have a bitter bone in her body, you know, not a cell. And we went on a little bit, and I says, Pat, the Lord is really pulling me back to this bitterness thing. She goes, I just don't know what it could be. So I said, let me pray anyway. So I prayed a prayer to reveal to her that if there was any bitterness, the Lord would reveal it to her, and then she could get rid of it. Okay? Now, granted, I wasn't as tuned in ABC things at that time, but we did what we could do, right? And God will meet you where you're at. So she thanked us as she left. On the way home, she had to pull the car over because she had bitterness she'd pushed down so far for decades, she didn't know it was still there. But she pulled the car over, and it came out of her and get out of her. And she said for about half an hour, it just kept coming out of her and out of her and out of her and out of her. She couldn't believe how much was down there. Monday morning, they couldn't find the cancer. They did not remove her breast. And she still is a healthy woman today. You got to be willing to search. You got to be willing to look inside yourself to see what the challenge is. There's something there. Okay? All right? What are your spiritual thermostats? Joy, peace, patience. What has pulled you out of joy? What has made you unhappy? What has gotten you angry, upset? Okay? Are you getting impatient about something? Now, going back to my tank analogy, patience is what works against the tanks. You had to wait for them to run out of fuel before you could do anything against them. But if they had patience, that's how you defeat the tank. Okay? You don't take it on head on. You wait for your right time. My bottom line is this, and that's what we're going to talk about in Revelation when they get to that. Patience is a key. If you're impatient for something, that's a demon pushing you. And I know, you're in California here. There are people in New York out there on the internet. We understand. There are things that just push and drive and push and drive. My wife and I will notice, if we go up north here, there's a demarcation line where you can feel the pressure drop. It's amazing. There is a demon of pressure over this area here that pushes people, pushes people. Bottom line is this. Whatever's causing these challenges, you need to take control over it. I don't care how big that Goliath is, you're David with God, you take control over it. Amen? Okay. So immediate warfare, you've gone through the part where you stop things. What are you going to do first of all? Look at what you're currently doing in your spiritual life. Okay. My spiritual life, I do 20 mind of Christ. And perhaps the challenge has come against mental issues of something or another. So I have to increase that to 100. I have to get that up to where it is so that the demons can't control me and affect me in making bad decisions or whatever it is, okay? I'm using this as an example. I'm not saying I have that, just as an example. And I probably shouldn't say my, it's just personae, so I cover, cancel me null and void, words I said with the word of Jesus, make them null and void, that I do not have any challenge with the mind of Christ. But my point is, whatever that person has, what are you doing? If you're not doing enough, increase your scriptures over it, okay? You need to build that up, okay? Are you confessing your sins before you do affirmations? Again, getting back to impatience, maybe just say, okay, I'll just do the affirmations. Well, that's like running a race with a 50-pound weight on your back. Get rid of the sin. Once the sin is gone, you'll be in a position to do a better job. Your faith will grow. You'll feel forgiven. You'll know it's not there. The lies of the enemy won't attack you as well because you know you're forgiven. But if you see RRB, as you're taught here at ABC, confess, repent, renounce, and break, get rid of that thing, your prayers are more effective. Okay? Christians, we're soldiers in the army of Christ. We are in a war. Going back to the Jews in World War II, they didn't want to be in that war. They were just born. They had no choice in the matter. Ladies and gentlemen, we have no choice in this matter. We are in a war. By repenting of your sins and getting rid of them. You're making sure that your weapons are clean. If you guys in the military, how many times do they have you clean and re-clean your weapons? How sharp is your sword? Is it sharp enough to do the job when you're in the fight? Is it going to get stuck in the scabbard because it's dirty with something? Or can you pull it out and use the sword effectively? So he has to carry his weapon. It must always be clean or for it to function effectively. We keep our sin by being sin free. That can only be done by confessing your sins before anything, like affirming the Word of God. The Word of God is your weapon. It's more powerful than any weapon on earth, but it's not effective if sin is present. So confess your sins often throughout the day, even if they're unknown sins. We'll talk about unknown sins. If you don't know what that is, come up afterwards. We'll explain it to you. Okay? But do that. These programs work, but they are work. Okay? All right. Now, when I was younger, I started martial arts. I studied a very not too well-known karate called Goju Kai. It was very effective. But my sensei, my teacher, would teach us how to react. That if a punch was coming, I could instantly block it. I didn't have to stop and think, what am I going to do? That punch is coming. He was like, block it. Or turn away and let the punch miss. There were all kinds of things we were taught. We're built in our reflexes on how to handle this. Okay? Spiritually, you need to have your reflexes spiritually built up that well. When the attack comes, how do you handle it? Now, it's not a time to analyze why is it coming. You handle it first, then you go back and analyze why. Then you see RRB, and then you get rid of that part. But immediately, you've got to know how to say, stop, no, don't do this. Okay? Confessing your sin throws the devil off when you throw a punch. Because he tries to throw a punch and says, remember when you did X? You say, I've been forgiven of that. That punch doesn't hurt me. Okay? All right? So, CRRB. All right? Now, number five, under H, hindrances. Forgive all others. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, forgive them all, for they know not what they do. He forgave everyone. Every single person. Okay. Yeah, C5. Forgive all others. Okay. Search yourself and search your memory for any past sins of unforgiveness. It may be something that happened in your childhood that's finally coming back to rear its ugly head. As with Pat, what happened to her was decades earlier. She didn't know about it, okay? She didn't remember about it, but it was an open door, which caused her to have a challenge of breast cancer, okay? As these attacks come, they're warnings. Now, God is not attacking you, but when the attack comes, let God use it to help you get rid of a challenge that you're dealing with. Is that fair enough? Okay. Okay, D, near-term warfare. Okay, these are your daily activities that you're doing on a regular basis. This is what you need to do to keep the devil at bay as much as possible. When you take communion, confess your sins before you take communion. Again, be patient. Now, I like to look at communion. Now, this is me speaking, okay? This is God's antiseptic. Okay. You take communion, and whatever's festering inside of you is going to be taken away. And you can't overdose on it. You know. But if you're doing it once a day, maybe you need to do it four times a day, maybe do it every hour. We've heard stories people did it every 15 minutes to get a major healing. Okay. Taking communion. You don't always have to have the elements. You can do it supernaturally. You can do it spiritually too as well. But continually taking communion, confess your sins, take communion. That's your 1-2 punch. That'll help keep a lot of things away from you right there. Okay. Number 8, study the Bible. not enough people are studying their Bibles. I know we do a lot of work here at ABC. I understand that. A lot of us have other things going. We've got families. Some of us still have jobs. We work on a secular basis. And there's a lot of issues going on. There's other family challenges and things. I understand that. Give yourself a few minutes just to ask God what part of the Bible to read and start a program to read through the Bible on something specific. You'd be surprised at how you'll find in that study something reflects exactly upon what you need at that very minute. Okay. Now in this case we're talking about healing. So study healing, things that happen in the Bible. And this is meant to encourage you. Okay. I mean, read the story again about the woman with the issue of blood had to push through the crowd to get to the hem of Jesus' garment. You know. Or the man who was lowered through the roof to get healed. Or even in the Old Testament, the commander of the Syrian army had to dip himself 7 times in the Jordan River to get cured of leprosy. These stories are encouraging because they're victories. These people weren't even spirit-filled. And God healed them. Would He not do as much for you? Amen? Okay. This will grow your faith to receive your healing. Now, by the way, I have a challenge for you. If you can find this, let me know. I've never, ever, anywhere in the Bible that I've read, found where someone went to Jesus to get healed, and Jesus says, no, sorry, my Father's trying to teach you something. Okay. So if your Father's trying to teach, people tell us that. No, God's teaching me something. Then why are you asking for prayer? I'm not going to interrupt God's work on you, you know, come on. Why are you going to a doctor, you know? No, God's not teaching you something by your illness. Now, granted, if somebody is attacked by the enemy, he will use that in some way in the future, but he's not doing that to teach you anything. It's not God bringing anything on you. Do not blame God for any challenge you have, be it physical, financial, whatever it is. It's the enemy bringing it to you. And God will use it, but He's not purposefully teaching you by your challenge. Fair enough? Okay. All right. There is an ABC-er. It was in the very first semester of healing school several years ago. When her husband was attacked by the devil with severe pain. During that time, she remembers she was studying the list of healing scriptures in the ABC manual. She didn't know what else to do. She got out the list, started reading them over her husband. And she read them over and over until the pain subsided enough. And then he went to the hospital. But at least he got the pain decreased enough where he could go. And then Pastor Karen and I called him when he was in the hospital. We led him to spiritual warfare. And he got better much, much quicker than expected. And after his full recovery, he started attending ABC with his wife here. Okay. Now, I still minister this person. He implements everything that we teach 100%. And he does his checklist to manifest healing whenever there's a challenge. And his victories are numerous. And that's encouraging because these prayers work. It's not the magic wand, but they work. Maybe it takes longer for one person than another. It doesn't matter. It works. Now, if you're having challenges and you're having a tough time staying on what you need to do, find somebody to help you. When I was 19, I had a terrible accident and I was really challenged in my knee. I went to surgery. They repaired 3 ligaments, took out the cartilage, et cetera, et cetera. And it didn't heal right. And I was in traction for 8 weeks and I had to do a lot of exercises. And there were times where I just didn't want to do them. It was not tomorrow. Well, I had a friend who would come by and take me to the gym and push me to do my exercises. And he would say things that men would say to each other, like, what are you, a wimp? You can't do it now? My wife can do better than that. And because of that, I did my exercise because I can walk today. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I would have a tremendous limping challenge. Mm-hmm. Okay. My point is, if you can't have trouble getting through your stuff, find somebody that will help you, that will coach you, that will push you through a little bit, and find a partner. Jesus sent them out two by two for a reason. You're not in this alone. Okay? Great. Now, how are you doing with your words? You ever think about the things that you just say off the top of your head that you've heard for years, like, don't go off half-cocked? Mm-hmm. Well, that comes from the old musket days where you had to cock and recock the musket because it took a tremendous amount of power to get the spark to burn the powder to shoot the ball, right? If you were half-cocked, you wouldn't get the spark and you'd get killed because the other guy's bullet would hit you, okay? All right? But there are reasons for these things. So when you say yourself saying something, and Pastor Karen will do, we'll stop and look, where did this come from? Oh my God, I can't say that ever again. Start, you got a phone, it's got a computer on it. Google, what does this mean? Where did this come from? It'll tell you, okay? And learn if you're saying something that you shouldn't be saying that's causing problems in your life, okay? Now, as you know, here at ABC, we talk about challenges a lot. We have challenges. Why? Because the challenge can be overcome. So at work, I use the word challenge. And when the guy is at the desk next to me says, why do you do that so much? I told him that reason. Just that reason. Because if I say X, Y, Z, I have a problem. If I say I have a challenge to something, I can overcome. And so he starts saying the word challenge. Today, the owner of the company says something, says, oh, I got to say challenge over that. I didn't tell him, so it must have been the other guy, you know. The point is, your words go out. Things happen. It snowballs, okay? Great. All right, so we all know about the nine fruit of the Holy Spirit. Be sure that you're up on them. If you have any challenges, look if any one of those things you're not operating properly in. Then go back, CRB it, get rid of the sin. Ask God to help you. He will. Long-term warfare. This is what you do to get total victory over things. Okay? And you're going to break curses. Now, if you go to Semester 1, Module 16, there's a whole prayer on breaking curses. Okay? If you don't know about that, don't do it until somebody teaches you how to do it. Okay? Call us up. We'll explain what to do. Make sure that you do it safe. These prayers are powerful, just like a nuclear bomb is powerful, but used improperly can cause a lot of problems, okay? So I want you to be sure that you're doing things the way you're taught here. We do a lot of things to make sure everything is safe, okay? For example, somebody walked up to me one day the other week and says, can you help cast demons out of me? And I says, no. He says, why not? I said, because you're not ready for it. If I cast demons out of you, and yes, I can do that, but I won't, because if I cast demons out of you and you're not ready for it, then seven worsers may come back, and it'll be worse than before. And the person was a little bit upset. But I can't do any harm to this person. He's not ready for it. Actually, it was several years ago. I wasn't the other day. But the bottom line is, we know what we're doing here. A lot of thought, a lot of preparation, a lot of work, rework, clarification be done to make sure we do it right. You wouldn't want a pilot flying your airplane that you're in that hasn't been through proper trainings. Okay? We'll train you. We got the courses. We love train everybody in the world. Don't misunderstand me. But everything's done in its own course and time, and be patient until you're ready for it. Okay? Now, affirm scriptures to control your tongue. This is, in my opinion, the world's biggest challenge. I know it's one of mine. To this day, I have to stop myself from shooting my mouth off and causing problems. Okay? I'm working on it. God's helping me. So let's do a few scriptures about that right now. Okay. I stopped counting at about 30 of these, but we'll do like 5 right now. So if you need more, feel free to go through the Bible. They'll help you out. By the way, today is Google's 21st birthday. And although it's not a very spiritual thing, it's a fast way to find information out about what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. How many verses on this do I need? They'll pull them right up for you, you know. So, all right, so we're going to start with Psalm 19:14. Please repeat after me. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
God makes the word of my mouth.
God makes the word of my mouth.
And meditations of my heart.
Pleasing to him.
Okay, stop right there. You do that, and in the name of Jesus, I have the mind of Christ. You've done about 80% of the work you need to do. You controlled your mind, you controlled your mouth, and the meditation of your heart. You've done a lot right there to stop the enemy from attacking you. Okay? All right. 1 Peter 3:10. That doesn't look right. In the name of Jesus, I love life. Want to see good days. Holy Spirit, keep my tongue from evil. Okay. Thought that had a different verse in there. 4:29. In the name of Jesus, repeat with me. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
The Holy Spirit helps me.
The Holy Spirit helps me.
So no corrupt word.
So no corrupt word.
Proceeds out of my mouth.
Proceeds out of my mouth.
Proverbs 21:23. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
The Holy Spirit helps me.
The Holy Spirit helps me.
To guard my mouth.
To guard my mouth.
And tongue.
And tongue.
Which keeps my soul from trouble.
Which keeps my soul from trouble.
Psalm 141:3. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Holy Spirit, set a guard over my mouth.
Holy Spirit, set a guard over my mouth.
And a watch.
And a watch.
Over the door of my lips.
Over the door of my lips.
Amen. If you can find the Holy Spirit helping you control your mouth, a lot of things are going to improve. Huge things. Okay. Next one, read the Bible out loud. Okay. Now, Pastora Karen was led by the Holy Spirit to encourage one of her cousins to read Proverbs out loud daily. Some months passed, that person later told Pastora Karen how it changed her life. And God had imparted so much godly wisdom to resolve many challenges in her life. And she is learning to be a woman of Proverbs 31. Okay. I like Proverbs. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs. You can do them on a daily basis, 1 through 31, as the months do. And it's a very, very easy way to start. And you know exactly where you are. And if you miss a day, okay, fine. You skip one, you go to the next day. But you get in the habit of reading out loud. Now, when I was in college, when I had a challenging course, a boring course, for example, I found that if I could read it out loud, I could retain it and I could get through the class. Okay? There's something about speaking it and hearing it. You speak it, you hear it, you receive it, you retain it better. It's just a natural flow of things. It also slows you down a little bit because you'll read faster than you speak. And when you read fast, many times you skip things. But when you read it out loud, word for word, you will get the meaning of it and you'll find new revelations on things. It's really, really exciting. Okay? Play healing scriptures aloud. We've told a lot of people that healings, we used to sell a CD. You can get them. It's no big deal. There's lots of them out there. But let us repeat the healing scriptures continuously. And we'd put the CD on constant repeat. So all night long, it would play through for these people. And the Word of God would just soak and soak and soak and soak. And as the Word of God soaks, it washes the demons out. That's a good way to go. Pray, praise, and worship 24/7. We have our computer set up where it just plays continuously. Never ending. And people walk in and say, wow, what's special about this place? Well, they're feeling the anointing that's in there. Let it saturate the walls. Let it saturate everywhere. Demons don't like to come in when the music is playing. They don't like that. They don't like that at all. Now, praise is a horizontal relationship with God. These songs about how great God is, how marvelous things He has done, will continue to do. Praise stops the avenger. God inhabits the praises of His people. Worship is vertical. It's direct to God. These songs were praying, speaking to God in intimate relationship. Worship will bring a deeper anointing for you as you get into worship. And it takes both. It's not one or the other. It takes both. Okay? Read healing scriptures aloud. We talked about reading the Bible aloud. If there's a challenge, be it healing, or if you have a financial challenge, read financial scriptures, whatever it is. And read them, and read them, and speak it into being. Okay? Now, ABC in Healing School 1 lists over 40 healing scriptures. So just go to Healing School Semester 1 Module 3. That was done on January 25th, 2019. And you can pull up and download a whole list of healing scriptures. I know there's over 40. I forget the exact number because they keep adding more to it every time I turn around. Okay. Sing your songs. It's one thing to play them, but sing them. Now, my voice is challenged. And I don't like to hear the sound of my voice. But when I do stop and sing in the Spirit, and just helps me enter the throne room of God, when I'm in that quiet time and I set things up and I really, really worship God, I really, really hear His voice. And I just can't encourage you enough to continue to do everything you need to do to get victory in every area of your life. And if you got two challenges, design a plan for two. If you got three, design a plan for three. Now, it's up to you how to do it. You may hit one at a time, or you may hit a little bit at each one at a time. That's up to you and God. But the trainings are here. Now, I've seen miracles. I've seen people get up and walk who were paralyzed. I saw a boy come into our healing rooms that was deaf. Before we even prayed for him, he turned to his mommy and says, "Mommy, I can hear the music." I'm no longer surprised when I see a miracle. I'm thrilled and excited. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just not surprised anymore because I've come to the point to where I expect it. I want you to expect that miracle in your life. Be thrilled about it. Don't be surprised. Oh, God did it. No. Thank you, Lord. You've done it again. I would like now to have Pastor Michael play a testimony. You're going to be able to hear this. I think you'll find this very fascinating. Michael, I need to preface this before you hit the button, though. Just a second, please. I'm a big fan of Lee Strobel. If you don't know who Lee Strobel is, he was a devout atheist. His wife was born again, and he was a legal researcher for the Chicago Tribune, back in the days when the paper was a quality paper. Okay, his job was to find the most intimate details about legal cases and bring them to light. He decided he was going to use every one of his skills to prove that Jesus was a fraud. In doing so, he proved Jesus was real. And he's gone on to write a book called The Case for Christ. It's now been made into a movie. And it shows how you cannot disprove the truth. It's great. It's fantastic. He's written multiple books, done multiple things, but his last one is called A Case for Miracles. We research miracles that have actually happened. And I'm going to play this for you, and then we'll discuss it in a minute. Pastor Michael, please.
As we close, share one that really got your attention.
Well, there was a preacher, a Baptist preacher, by the name of Dwayne Miller. Dwayne was pastor of the First Baptist Church in Brenham, Texas. And he loved to preach the Word of God. He loved to worship God. He had a beautiful singing voice. He wakes up one day, his voice is gone. Just gone. He goes to the doctor. They say, your vocal cords have been paralyzed by a virus, and there is no hope of ever returning to a normal voice. His voice was like this. He said it was like I had a hand on my throat. It was clenching my throat. And he went to 63 doctors over 3 years, including
63.
A Swiss symposium of voice experts who examined him. And the prognosis was, it's never going to come back. I'm sorry. So he lost his position at the church because he couldn't preach. He was destitute financially, going through just a terrible time. Well, he one day gets a phone call from First Baptist Church of Houston, his former Sunday school class where he used to preach years earlier. And they said, would you come and just preach for us? And he said, well, you know, it's really annoying to listen to me. And they said, well, yeah, we know it's hard to hear you, but we love you, and just do it once for us. And so he goes to the Sunday school class, and Dwayne gets up, and he begins to preach. And he's preaching from Psalm 103, which talks about God healing our diseases. And so Dwayne, as he's preaching, and his voice is like this, and in the verse it talks about God healing our diseases. And he said, I'm preaching it, but I'm thinking in my mind, well, why not me, Lord? Why have you not healed me? And then he gets to the verse that talks about the Lord redeems your life from the pit. And he said, you know, all of us have had, you know, at one time or another, a pit experience. And when he said the word pit, he said it was like the hand came off his throat. And his voice began to return. And people are stunned. They're shocked. They can't believe this because they know him. And they've known all that he's gone through. And as he continues to talk, you hear his voice come back. Now, here's the thing. This was tape recorded. So we have the actual tape of him at that moment when God healed his voice. So if you'd like, I can play it for you, because I really think it'd be an encouragement to people.
Oh, outstanding.
So when the psalmist writes, and he heals all of my diseases, let me say to you that I believe God still heals. That hasn't ended. That is not over. So the psalmist says, I'm excited. Bless the Lord, O my soul. One of his benefits is he heals all of my diseases. And in verse 4 he says, and he redeems my life from the pit. Now I like that verse just a whole lot. I have had, and you have had in times past, pit experiences. We've all had times when our life seemed to be in a pit, in a grave. And we didn't have an answer for the pit we find ourselves in. And I don't understand this right now. I'm but overwhelmed at the moment. I'm not quite sure what to say or do. Sounds funny to say at a loss for words. Thank you, Lord.
Well, more about modern day miracles tomorrow.
Thank you, Michael. You've now heard a miracle. Is that pretty cool?
Yeah.
Man, speaking the word of God, healed. I think nowhere to verify the things that ABC does here, but somebody outside of ABC just doing what ABC teaches, and a miracle comes upon that person. So I'm going to encourage you all, go through your checklist, do everything you need to do, learn how to stop the attacks, do your immediate moral actions, check your hindrances, do your intermediate, and long-term work that you need to do. And let's kick the devil out of our lives. Amen? Okay, so let's kick the devil out. Praise the Lord.
We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful privilege of coming to the table to partake of the body and the blood of Jesus, that on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, broke it, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you." And each one of us can put our own name in there, that he broke his body for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, the great exchange. Your body broken that we might be healed. For by the stripes of Jesus we have been healed. Completed work, done deal. And now we choose to receive that which belongs to us as we partake together of the broken body to receive our wholeness. In Jesus' name. In the same manner, after the supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for remission from sins." Once for all, clearing the slate. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You took them all, every one of them, past, present, future, known and unknown, for every single man and woman who would ever live. You paid the price. All we have to do is say, "Yes, Jesus. We receive you, Jesus. We make you our Savior, our Lord." And then the benefits become ours. We thank you, Jesus, that all of our sins have been washed away. We thank you for your blood sealing the new, better, and everlasting covenant with Abba Daddy, with all the promises and all the tools and all the weapons that you have provided through your word for us to fight the enemy. For we are in the army of God. But we have already won because Jesus already won. All we have to do is enforce that victory in each one of our lives. And so we thank you, Lord, for this precious cup of blessing, this precious cup of life. We partake together in the precious name of Jesus, remembering and thanking you, Lord.